Hello, and welcome to the Foxworthy TV podcast. I'm Brian Fox, and I'm here with my co-host, Taylor Gaines.
We're back.
We are back. We've had several weeks off. We've been very busy and haven't...
2 weeks, right?
Two?
I guess three.
Feels like longer.
Been too long.
You know what? You're probably sitting in agony waiting for the next episode of the Foxworthy TV podcast. So you, it probably feels like several
weeks. We received
weeks.
A countless number of emails and tweets about the podcast disappearing. Because it was zero.
Right. So anyway, we have returned. We're going to revisit You're the Worst because it is not a comedy anymore. We are going to talk about the new Aziz Ansari Netflix series Master of None for a little bit. And then at the end, we might throw in our thoughts on whatever that was that the ending of Project Greenlight was. And then the movie aired on HBO. And that was a whole thing that existed that probably most people don't even know about because I don't know that that many people watched this season of Project Greenlight. And if you don't watch the season, there's no reason to watch the movie. So, let's dive right in. Taylor, how you been?
Well, I've been better than Gretchen. Has.
Yeah, so let's talk about this.
Little background.
We've talked about You're the Worst on the show before.
We have.
I think we both really liked it. We did mention that it was pretty dirty, pretty filthy and explicit for some people, and they might not like it, but...
It's been less so.
But it's definitely... That has kind of taken a back seat to this storyline with Aya Cash's character Gretchen, whom a few weeks ago they revealed has clinical depression, and... It's been really interesting because her relationship with Jimmy, you know, she tells him this and she's like, I'm going to just tell him about it. And he's hopefully going to like have a positive reaction and just understand that this is something that happens and it kind of comes and goes and there's not a lot she can do about it. And his reaction is naturally being, you know, it totally fits his character. His reaction is that he kind of wants to fix her and make her all better so that he doesn't have to face it and kind of deal with it. And so there's been, I think, three episodes now that have kind of escalated this problem.
And,
three or four, at least.
And not only has the bawdiness and dirtiness taken a backseat, but now the comedy has basically taken a backseat, which is why we wanted to revisit this, because I'm curious whether people are bailing on this show, because it's not overtly trying to be as funny anymore, or if people are into this in general. I know that you're into this. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on the shift.
I just think it's really interesting and fascinating, and it's also just really well done and really honest, which I think the show has always tried to be, which we did a whole episode entitled The Honesty of Modern TV Comedy. So I think that it's just showing something that isn't shown on television very much. Also something that I feel like a lot of people don't understand and want to dismiss. And I just think it's interesting to see this particular issue being dealt with by these characters, you know, with their particular personalities. I just think it's being handled well, and, like, they throw in jokes. They're definitely not as many. Like, the ratio of jokes to serious moments is definitely a lot different than it used to be. It's interesting. There are probably some people that are definitely turned off by it because it wasn't like they just did a one-off episode where they were like, oh, Gretchen has clinical depression and it's so sad. They've kept this going for, I think, what week are we on?
He finds out at the end of episode 6 that there's something wrong.
Right.
And then episode 7, she kind of tells him what the deal is. Yeah, so it's been
four
episodes of this. It's sort of a bummer to not have Aya Cash being funny, because she's really funny.
Right, which I get that.
But I also feel hypocritical, because we praised this show because of its honesty, and it's definitely still being really honest with its characters. The one thing that sort of worries me is the idea that these characters were already meant to be grating and unlikable, and Jimmy potentially could be really grating when there's like a real problem going on and he's still just being a dick about everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's bothered people, but last week I definitely didn't love the episode because
last week's episode was a little rough.
I thought that his family was extremely grating to the point where I was almost just feeling bad about watching it instead of finding things they said funny or anything.
Right.
But he did, of course, get his emotional moment, which was pretty good, and Chris Gere acted really well in. But yeah, it's a really interesting shift and something that only really a show like this could try, it seems. Like a show that not many people watch and that still has the support of its network and
yeah,
just really wants to change the way that the half hour works, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting because it does feel very, like, I feel like this show could pretty much get away with anything. I mean, the Halloween episode was pretty bonkers. Like, they did some bonkers stuff in that episode. And it was both funny and kind of jarring and also, like, really over the top. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I would maybe push back a little bit on, I think what I think is interesting about the way Jimmy is handling the situation is, I know where you're coming from, where it seems like he is just kind of being a dick, like, even though, like, the situation is, like, a little bit more serious. But I also think that there's maybe a part, an element to that that's maybe a little bit endearing, because I think you can kind of see that he's just, like, kind of in denial about it, like, and he's just trying to ignore it. And it's, like, kind of sad, because you know that he kind of, you can kind of get an underlying sense that he wants to, like, let his emotions out, and, like, he really desperately wants to help her, but he just has no idea how, and he really can't. There's nothing he can do about it. And I think as a viewer, just knowing his personality and being able to kind of see that behind his eyes, you know that he wants to fix it and he can't. And I think that he kind of puts on this facade of, like, I'm just going to be my normal, like, selfish, like, I don't care about anything personality.
Well, I think that was also something that didn't work for me this week, in this week's episode, because there was the spooky Sunday Funday episode where he clearly was trying to, like, make her feel better,
right,
and you kind of understood where he was coming from. And then this week, he seemed just distracted by his family,
mm-hmm,
where she clearly didn't want to be there or didn't want to do something, and he would just be like, take them to the grocery store, or cheer up, or come upstairs, or whatever.
Right.
And just seemed, like, a little too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I'm going to stop watching this show. It's really
no, that was definitely,
and there's only three episodes left this season.
A Right Proper Story was, what, episode 10?
Mm-hmm.
That one was definitely, like, a step backward, I think. It wasn't as good as the rest of the season. But hopefully our next three will wrap it up nicely.
So where do you think it's going? How do you foresee something like this wrapping up? Because when we saw her in the first season, I assume she was still clinically depressed then, but it wasn't affecting her.
Yeah.
Is she going to come to some kind of agreement with herself about their relationship that will make her settle down? Are they going to break up and then season three is going to be them single? Like, what do you think?
Dating other people. I don't know. That all depends, you know, assuming that we get another season, which we might. We probably will. I don't know. I mean, it's on FXX, which, like, I don't know that they care that much about ratings over there. I mean, what, the League has been on for, what, 6 or 7 years, and I don't really know that many people that watch that show.
Well, that wasn't always on FXX.
Right, it's a show that they moved, and then now, like, I just, and It's Always Sunny is another perfect, it's a super, like, niche show that I think they just moved to FXX, and so, like, I don't know that the ratings are really that relevant to this particular show, but, you know, assuming that we get another season, I don't know. I think that it seems like maybe this season is definitely hurtling towards some sort of breakup or, I don't know, disagreement between the two of them, where that's sort of like the cliffhanger ending of the season is them,
for sure,
basically breaking up or being like, we need a break from each other, something along those lines. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's interesting. It's definitely a risk that they've taken to go this direction, and it seems deliberate, and it doesn't feel like they tacked it on or kind of, like, tried to fit it in. Like, it's like they really devoted time to it and really stretched this arc out in a really, like, believable and interesting way. And I think it's just been interesting to seeing these two people in these scenarios.
Yeah. I guess that's pretty much all we have to say about it. So,
I mean, it's still a great show. If you don't watch it, you should definitely watch it. Even though we talk about it here, you may feel like some things are spoiled for you, but I believe the first season, if you have access to Hulu Plus, the entire first season is on there. I don't know about the second season. I don't think that'll be on there until the season's over, and it'll come several months later. But definitely seek the show out and check it out if you're interested in sort of what a really good half-hour show can do in terms of just being different and kind of reinventing itself, like, in the middle of a run. I think it's just really a really interesting study in how to both be really funny and then also just drop the funny for, like, 5 weeks and do, like, a really
And it won't take too serious. Much of your time, either.
Yeah.
Because as Andy Greenwald famously said last week, half hour is shorter than an hour.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can definitely catch up on it pretty quickly if you are interested. Speaking of shows you can catch up on pretty quickly,
let's talk about Master of None. Last Friday, I think it was last Friday, it was November 6th.
It was two Fridays, yeah.
Yeah, November 6th, I believe, is when it dropped. They dropped, Netflix put up Aziz Ansari's new TV series, Master of None. It's 10 roughly half-hour episodes. Most of them are 26-ish minutes, but there's a couple that actually go the full 30 minutes. I'll start with Taylor and let Taylor talk. I finished the season, and I think he's gotten about halfway through. So we'll just kind of give
great
our
thing about the Netflix,
give our thoughts. Yeah,
the Netflix model, I guess. I've seen the first four, and you've seen all of them. So we'll definitely be vague about it, especially because most people,
I think most people are still discovering it, to be honest.
Yeah,
like it's kind of still slowly picking up steam, but there's been a lot of critical acclaim for it.
Yeah, so the way I would describe this show, and this description won't help if you haven't seen it, but it's basically Aziz Ansari's Louis.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess a more specific way to describe it would be sort of a look at a lightly fictionalized version of his life. Obviously, he's not even named Aziz in the
show. His name is Dev.
Dev. But it plays as like a lightly fictionalized version of what it's like to be an Indian-American actor living in New York City. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's a comedian, but he's also an actor. So like,
yeah, he's done a lot of television and obviously Parks and Rec, and he's known for his stand-up comedy. And
he basically uses the show as a platform to talk about just what it's like to be a part of his generation, what it's like to be an Indian-American trying to get work.
The way relationships sort of operate now in contemporary society.
Even things just like what it's like to have immigrant parents and not realize the kind of sacrifices they might have had to make, which is pretty much what the second episode is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth episode is about being an Indian American and trying to audition for television and movies.
Yeah,
and
it's
stuff.
Just called, that episode's called Indians on TV, which is a really funny episode, but it kind of stings because you're like, oh, this is like such a problem with like representation on television. And you know, they want to have Indian Americans just always playing cab drivers with like really offensive accents and stuff like that. Just stereotypes.
And it's a smart show.
It's very smart.
It's a funny show. It's helped by, I believe, Michael Schur, who is I'm not sure about his creator status, but I know he was an executive producer and writer of The Office and Parks and Rec and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And he at least had some sort of guidance over Aziz and his co-writer Alan Yang in making the show. So it's funny. It's really well composed. The shots are surprisingly artful for a half hour, which is kind of reminiscent of Louis as well, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it seems like each episode, at least to this point, kind of stands on its own so much that like I've almost judged the show on individual episodes instead of as a whole.
Right.
Because for example, I love the first one, didn't like the second one, loved the third one, and then thought the fourth one was pretty good. I think that the show is funny, and it's, like, really well done, but I think that a lot of the actors on the show are pretty subpar, and it's distracting to me at certain times. Like, I don't think his parents are very good, and I don't think his friend Brian is good at all, but I know this isn't really an issue for a lot of people.
It's very interesting you say this, because I didn't have this problem when I watched it, but I was also, like, looking for a distraction when I watched it. I was just looking to be entertained, so I think that I was just kind of soaking in something new and not really caring too much about that. I was really mostly interested in the writing and kind of the voice of the show, because, as I was telling you, like, when we were texting before with this episode, I'm really interested in shows that have a unique voice, like Louis, like Girls.
This definitely
stuff
has that.
Stuff that has, like, an auteur kind of feel where, like, the writer and director and creator of the show might also be, like, a star of it. And so it feels just very much like they have a hand in everything, and it's very, like, handmade by them. And their voice just kind of comes through in every episode and in every situation. It just feels like they're bringing their unique viewpoint to whatever the issue is during the episode. I mean, this series, every episode kind of tackles a different thing, like a different, I don't want to say issue because that's not really fair, but it tackles a different kind of subject and something that is super relevant. I mean, there's so much really smart and interesting relationship stuff that goes on in the show. I won't go into too much detail because it's kind of
serialized at a certain point.
Yeah, like I was going to say, because you mentioned that you feel like each one is kind of individual. Like, I believe towards the end of the season, the last several episodes especially feel very much like they're telling a story and you need each episode to really get, like, the arc of the characters.
Because I will say, at the end of episode 3, he has a run-in with a former fling of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
The second she showed up on the screen, it was kind of one of those things where the show just felt like it got a spark and, like, sort of elevated a little bit. I was kind of disappointed for her to not be back in the fourth episode. I mean, her name is pretty high on the cast list, so I'm assuming she'll be around. But it was one of those dynamics where I was like, oh man, those two, like, have it. This show could really be something if those two were together more. And then she disappeared again.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the Netflix model, is they imagine that people will be like, oh, where is she? And they'll keep watching. But I haven't yet, obviously.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I'm not going to say too much other than I really don't have anything too negative to say about the show. I just think that I'm really in favor of Netflix or Amazon or HBO or whoever it is, whatever the network is or whatever the platform is, giving somebody money and resources and saying, just make your thing. Just do your thing. We're not going to interfere. We're not going to tell you how to write it. We're not going to tell you what can be in it and what can't be in it. You just go do your thing. You tell your story. You write it. You bring your unique voice and your unique sensibility to it, and we'll put it on and people can watch it.
Right.
And I'm all about that in pretty much every case.
That is a pretty good segue into Project Greenlight, because that is an example of someone who thought they deserved much more of their own voice and much more of HBO's funds, mm-hmm. and more leeway to do exactly what they wanted to do, being Jason Mann, who directed what is now The Leisure Class, the movie that came out of the Project Greenlight television show, which we have also talked about previously on here.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can say with confidence that it's worth your time if you never watched a single episode of this season. But anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, I was just saying we're going to revisit this because the movie's out now. So there were 8 episodes of the making of the movie, which were always entertaining, if not...
Well, and this is what the series is. Like, this is the whole point of the series, is to show people the process of making a movie, and then they air the movie on HBO. This is now the fourth time this has happened. Well, I guess 1 year it was on Bravo, but
The interesting thing is, I wonder how many people actually got around to watching the movie. Because it took me a little while, and then I finally did, and...
You watched it from beginning to end?
All the way through. One Sunday.
Did you...
I sat down.
Have the urge to turn it off while you were watching it? Or you were actually just fine with it?
It was fine. It was kind of, like, aggressively mediocre, is the way I would describe it.
You described that to me when we talked about it.
There were hints at stuff working. The two lead characters, Tom Bell and the guy from... The Mindy Project.
Ed Weeks. Yeah.
They definitely had some chemistry, and there were moments where, I believe we're to assume from the show that they are improv moments.
Okay.
And those moments seem to shine through quite well, actually. But for the most part, it seemed like none of the characters were really developed, and none of the emotional beats really landed.
Yeah, no, see, I haven't had 90 minutes to spare that I... Well, even if I did, I'm not sure I would spend it doing this. But I just haven't been able to bring myself to watch it because I just heard that it wasn't really anything special and you weren't really missing anything. But then I heard that if you've seen the season of the show, that you really have to watch it because it's so much better if you've seen
backstage
stuff.
There's the bit with the car crash.
Which does that come off pretty terrible?
Which the car stunt was a disaster in the show because the accident didn't happen as aggressively as they would have hoped. And it's exactly the same in the movie, and it only makes you laugh because the car basically just hit, they just bump bumpers, and then next thing you know, the guy's like in a stretcher, and you're like, oh, okay.
Wow. That's amazing.
But it's definitely worth watching, I think, if you've seen the show. It's probably not worth watching in really any other context.
But I'm not even sure that the show is that worth watching now. I mean, it's like mildly entertaining because he's such a dick, and you just like watching him and Effie go at it every week was like entertaining enough. But I'm not sure if you didn't start watching it, that you should start now. Like,
I
don't seek this out on your own.
I think the show might be more interesting with the movie out now, just in the sense that you can watch the show and say, what happened to make this movie go wrong? And it'll probably be hard to pinpoint because they do spend a lot of time talking about trivial things.
Well, like it's super heavily edited.
Let me say, when I was watching on HBO Go on my computer, plugged into my TV 2 Sundays ago, I didn't really notice the difference between shooting on film and shooting on digital.
Right.
But, you know, good thing they shot it on film. It's definitely interesting, though.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter lit up whenever the movie came out, and people were like, wow, so glad he got his... So glad he got his movie shot on film. So glad.
It makes
such a difference. I can really tell.
Like, this guy isn't Quentin Tarantino, who owns like theaters where they can actually play the movie in the right kind of film and have everyone appreciate the shots. Like, I'm watching it over the internet.
But do you think, like, was there like a strong directorial hand behind this movie when you were watching it? Did you see like, oh, that's kind of an interesting shot, or like, is it all just very like competent? But not like special.
I don't know. The way I was thinking about it was kind of the tone that he tries to get across. That felt uneven to me because the shift from comedy to drama towards the end of the movie felt more abrupt and unearned than I think it was intended to be. Just because the characters didn't really feel as lived in or developed as I think they were hoping they would have time for.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a competently shot movie, and it's got some nice composition. And
it was shot on film, which makes a huge difference.
It's okay. It's not the kind of movie I would ever really watch in any other context.
Right. All right. Well, what else is going on for you? You got a column coming soon?
New column going up today on a show we have also discussed on this podcast. That's Lifetime's Unreal.
Terrific show.
Which was a lot of fun to write about. I even went back and rewatched the pilot. Really fun show. That should go up today. And, yeah, not much else going on. I mean,
what else are you really enjoying that's on right now? I know you watched
Fargo's the best thing on TV right now. And I don't think it's close. And I'm watching a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So right now it's fairly just comfortable saying that.
It's a hot streak right now.
Yeah, Fargo is amazing because every episode I keep thinking, man, that was actually the best episode. But The Leftovers also had a huge week where I've been kind of back and forth on, like, it's one of those shows I sort of, like, I get why people love it, but I don't love it. But then I thought this week's episode was really great.
Do we want to save the character deaths on some big shows for next week?
Or? So, I think next week we should talk about this recent phenomenon of sorts of television shows teasing characters' deaths as the credits roll.
Right. But not really definitively telling you whether they're dead or alive or when you might see them again.
Right. And
I guess Game of Thrones did this, The Walking Dead did this, and now The Leftovers did this.
And whether this happening too often will cheapen it.
It's already so annoying. But we'll get into it next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week, because I think that's a really interesting conversation to have. And now that Game of Thrones, The Leftovers, and Walking Dead have all done it to varying degrees of success and internet outrage, it should be an interesting thing.
Have you watched the last few episodes of The Grindr?
Yes.
It's still funny. It's still pretty funny.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty, like, excited.
I'm, like, waiting to say, like, it's fully in these guys' hands now.
Right.
Which I'm not sure when really that point is. A lot of people were saying episode 8 or 9 or whatever.
The one from
last week was episode 7.
Really funny.
Yeah. It's been good.
So The Grindr's good. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's good. There's lots of stuff to watch right now. All right. Well, I guess we can wrap it up there. We'll definitely come back next week. Hopefully we won't have any more long hiatuses. I've been tweaking the blog, the website, and we're going to post these on there with hopefully some new writing will go up. And also, we've now moved to YouTube, as I think we talked about on one of our, the last pod we talked about?
And we're finally progressing towards being on iTunes also.
Yeah. So, we're going to try to be everywhere, and you guys can, access us everywhere. We'll be back next week, and thank you very much for listening.